League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 975 and 92.5. A little feisty Friday because Dell is, we're going to miss him.
We had college.
I know college.
That's as close as we've ever
had. Oh, by the way, the other one that gets me, The Wave. The Wave.
The Wave is the wave at least number two. If it's not number one, it's number two.
Yeah, The Wave sets me off. There's no question. Michael pointed that out. Good call, Michael.
You got a few things that really set you off.
Yeah. Tank Dell, block as a guard. Mm-hmm. AJ well, not putting in Garrett Cole.
Yep.
And The Wave. And card path only.
No, and you're missing one more. I feel like you're missing one.
Oh, and ESPN's top play.
Yeah.
A dunk.
Being a dunk. Those are five of them that no matter when they're set.
An NBA player dunked? Wow. That's a top play. That's amazing.
And anyone,
speaking of NBA.
Anyone saying something negative about Joe Burrow?
No, I don't care about that. Big ups to Patrick Fertitta. Made top 40 executives under 40.
Okay.
Yeah. He's highly regarded. I don't think we know that Patrick is really, I think, really well respected. He's behind the scenes doing a lot. He doesn't get a lot of. I've asked him to come on the show. I said, come on, and he was like, ah, I'm okay. He wants to be, you know, he goes about his work. He does a really, really nice job. I think he's a lot more respected than he does a lot more than we think. I don't think Tillman is nearly, he's not involved. Nearly as involved as, and certainly not as Patrick. Patrick works with Rafael closely.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And he's one of the top 40 under 40. Big
it's
ups.
Funny, at the University of Houston NIL thing that they had, I was there with John Daspit it was at least a year ago. It was before the football season started, so maybe a little bit more than a year ago. I was talking to Tillman about something basketball related, and he said, hold on. And he was intent. He was listening, and he goes, hold on one second. And he went and got Patrick, and he brought Patrick over like he needs to hear this. And so that's when I knew, like, oh, okay.
No,
it was. I thought I was talking to the guy,
yeah.
But he went and got his son and said he needs to hear this. And that's why I realized, okay, Patrick's not just a guy who's sitting on the sideline over there by Travis Scott. In the courtside seats, No.
Patrick's working. Mm-hmm. Patrick is working closely and is very, very involved in the day to day. As opposed to Tillman. Tillman's got too many. He's got so many.
Well, yeah.
So much business to do, and Patrick. No, that's Patrick's job. He's is he vice president? President? I think he's president of the. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exact title, but. Big ups to him. That was nice. I saw the list of NBA executives, 40 executives under 40, and Patrick was one of them. So congratulations to him. Teams that will improve, they will be six NBA teams that will be way better than they were last year.
Way better?
Way better.
Six NBA teams.
One is pretty obvious.
I mean, if they're
Dell, if you want to get in this. Did you see the list? Oh, you've seen the list.
Yes.
You've seen it, so you know.
One is pretty obvious, probably the Spurs.
No.
Well, the Spurs have to be on the list.
The Spurs are not on the list. Not on the list.
Really?
No. I don't. Are they you sure that they're ready year. To be? I know, but are you sure?
Yeah, they're going to be much better. The Rockets were much better than they were last year.
But the Rockets have a lot of pieces that they put together. The Spurs still have a lot of work to do.
Well, they have a lot of work to do, but look how bad they were last year.
I understand, but why are they going to be that much better this year?
I bet you they'll win 10 more.
Maybe.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the Rockets were plus 19, which is best in the league.
Yeah.
Right. Plus 19. That's different.
So are you going to – so the Rock – No,
well, there's one team that's going to – this is very obvious.
One team – who's very obvious? Hold on. Not Sixers, not Nets, Nuggets.
Well, it's because of injuries.
Who had all the injuries last year?
Well –
the wrong conference?
Well, Memphis.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, Ja comes back. It's going to be different.
Yeah, well – yeah, let's see how he comes back from injury.
Yeah, right. Well, but he's Ja. He's going to be good.
Well, he's an explosive player who had an injury to an explosive, you know, it was ACL, right?
Was it? And then got hurt. What was it? Was it a knee?
No, it was on his shoulder.
His shoulder?
You're right. It was on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So he should be fine.
Yep. Yes. And then Brandon Clark, he was out with an Achilles tear.
That's a little tougher to predict how they come back. Who are the teams on the list? Rockets are on there, apparently.
Rockets are on there.
So it's interesting.
41 and 41, how much better are they going
to
be?
Well, but now there's levels to it. Because if you go, it's not about how many more wins you have. Now it's about being a playoff team. They weren't a playoff team last year. If they're a sixth seed, that's a big jump.
Okay.
And that may be 50 wins.
Somebody asks, is it realistic? Okay, what is a realistic expectation of this team this year?
Well, I think it starts with make the playoffs. Not even play in. No, playoffs. Make the playoffs.
So they have to either win their play in game.
Your goal is to make the playoffs.
And be in the playoffs.
Your goal is to finish in the top six.
So that's a tall order. Especially with Memphis coming back and being
better.
Very
doable.
And with, you know, the teams. The drop-off teams are probably Golden State and the Lakers, but why is anybody else going to drop off?
Why is anyone else going to get much better? Why would the Mavericks get better?
Well, the Mavericks will be better, first of all, because they just picked up Paul George? No.
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson just went
But
down.
The other thing is they made that midseason trade, so... multiple. So if you think what you saw the back half of the year will happen over a full year.
They went to the West. They went to the NBA Finals.
They were pretty good. Yeah,
from
a five
seed. So how are they going
to
be?
Well, they're not. They don't have to be better. They just have to be in the playoffs again.
Okay, but
so that takes up a spot.
I said, how are they going to be improved?
Well, they don't have to be improved.
This is my point. Who's getting better on that team? Nobody. Klay Thompson is older.
But they don't have to be better. They're already in.
Well, here's my point, though. Who's got growth potential? The Rockets have tons of growth.
That's not the question. It's how you're going to make the playoffs. You've got to get somebody out of
it. How are you going to make the playoffs by playing better than you did last year?
No. If you play as well as you did last year, you're in. The Rockets aren't.
No. Yes, the Rockets can win the same amount of games as those teams that won that. Why can't they? Why can't the Rockets win 12 more games and have 53 wins?
Why can't they?
Yeah, they obviously can.
But my point is,
we've seen the other team do it. The Rockets have been terrible.
Other teams, we know, but that doesn't matter what they've been. They've been terrible. They're not that anymore. You know it, and I know it. So that argument's irrelevant. The fact is, you don't have to have teams come back to you. You need to play like those other teams.
Okay. Point being, we know those other teams can do it. We also know the Rockets are 41-41 and are improved and are good. But we don't know the Rockets can win 53 games. We know the other teams
you
can.
You say the other teams. Look, the Dallas didn't even make the playoffs. So, I mean, it's not like it's static and it stays there.
But Dallas,
it's fluid.
But Dallas made multiple trades in the regular season to improve their team.
But my point is, basketball is fluid. There's a fluidity to it, and I think that you have to.
I think top six team.
I think the Rockets have the talent to play all of their talent is getting better.
No, I got
it's a rare situation.
The
where
question
everyone's
was,
getting
what
better.
Are the what's a realistic expectation?
I think a realistic expectation is top 16. Yeah,
Sox.
I think the Texans should be a top three offense. The Rockets should be a top 16 in the West.
So you're
yes.
talking 50 wins.
50 wins.
49 and 43 was the sixth seed last year.
49 and 43.
And that doesn't even include the Grizzlies, who were awful.
I don't think that's not doable. However, you got to have one of these teams falling off. I mean,
so who are you catching?
Or you just play better than them. Look, somebody can fall off by three games. That's not that big a deal. Plus or minus three games, four games. That's not a big deal in a season. Who's injured?
And the 40, and we remember the 41 and 41 came because they went on a remarkable run in a month.
Yeah.
Are they going to
But they also played
But they
bad
also
early
played
on.
They lost some games they should have never lost.
But are yeah, but even still.
You had Alperen Sengun out for
you
a
You can
stretch.
Balance it out any way you want, but they had a remarkable month that made them a team that actually had a good season.
Yeah,
other
they had
that,
a remarkable
they
month
because
they
awful.
Played remarkable basketball.
Well, and in well when Alpi was down, they played really
they
well too.
They beat the Nuggets 3 like this
isn't
team
a question
beat the Nuggets
of,
3 times.
I'm not
last
talking
year.
About the schedule. What I'm talking about is are they going to be a good basketball team over the course of an entire season, or was that 1 month stretch just
I have
just lightning
well,
in a bottle?
I will say this. It depends and now it depended on Jalen, and Jalen was so inconsistent. It doesn't depend on Jalen anymore.
No,
they're too deep now. They're too good to let Jalen drag them down.
Reed Sheppard is a much bigger addition than I think people are giving it credit for. I wasn't previously. I didn't think he would be a factor, but now that I know that he can play two positions, I mean, he is going to make threes. He is going to. There's going to be an element added to this team. Tari Eason didn't play last year. He's a massive plus-plus player for them. I mean, for me, this the Rockets are their own, I shouldn't say worst enemy. Their biggest challenge is going to be finding how you play guys and when you play guys and who gets the basketball. It has nothing to do with talent. I don't have any doubt that this team is one of the six. I believe they're one of the six most talented teams in the Western Conference. Some of these teams are just kind of stale, older talent. You look from the top eight, the Rockets' top eight is better than Golden State Warriors. It's better than the Lakers.
Except the Lakers have two top 20 players on the roster.
They do, but one of them's fading and the other one's injured
but
a lot.
Yeah.
Injured a lot.
And Anthony Davis played for the first time in a long time, 70-plus games. The Rockets don't
first
have...
First time in a long time, exactly.
The Rockets don't have a top 20 player on the roster. Maybe Sengun gets there this year, we'll see. But the teams you are talking about... Yes, the rosters are not as deep as the Rockets. But if we talk about their best players,
talking about that, though, because it's more of a team game with Ime.
Yeah.
I don't care about that.
You should when you're
ISO
trying to talk.
Because they've got a lot of really good players.
That's not about an ISO thing. But you're talking about these teams. Like the Suns, sure, old. But Booker and Durant, I'm taking them.
Why this year and not last year?
Well,
why is it?
I'm not talking about them to win a title. I'm talking about them to finish ahead of the Rockets.
They were a top team last year.
Yeah, the Suns were not a factor late.
I'm not talking about them to win a title. I'm just saying that was a 50-win team.
They have to get.
I'm just telling you. You don't have to believe it. But I didn't have any doubts about. By the end of the year, I'm like, this is what it looks like with the Texans. I have no doubts with the Rockets. So y'all can argue it. How are you going to possibly do this with all these great teams in the West? I think the Rockets are on. Pace to be that explosive team.
First of all, that's not what I think. Secondly,
well, what do y'all think? Why are y'all challenging this
much? I'm not challenging.
They can be better.
No. I'm not saying that they can't be better. I'm saying that top six. I don't want to have to put the expectation on them this year that they have to be a top six team.
Why?
Because
what's going to happen?
Because a step would still be. Make the play-in and win and get into the playoffs.
That's
would be
fine, but I think that they're going to have a more explosive step than usual, same way the Golden State Warriors had it when they started their run. This is not unusual for teams.
The Warriors,
at how the Texans.
It's not the same. The Warriors were making the playoffs year after year, just Mark Jackson
wasn't
Warriors, good enough.
But the Warriors made a big jump right away. This is not unusual for teams to make big jumps, to skip a step. This is not – we see this a lot in every sport. Teams jump up faster than you think.
Yeah, but you're talking, well.
But there's certain things that have to be in place here.
And if the Rockets have two future, well, actually, at that point, three future Hall of Famers that were not, that were in their prime.
I don't think you have to have future Hall of Famers to be a good
basketball team. The difference is the Warriors were in their prime. You forget the Warriors had several years when they were flaming out and they were blaming Mark Jackson for the issues that hired Steve Kerr, and things changed. But we're talking about guys in their prime. The difference between the Warriors and the Rockets, for the most part, you're talking about your best players being early 20s. And that would be my pushback on this giant step to take. Are they ready to take that giant step? Dell,
but I don't think, from a talent standpoint, they defend. What I don't think you're taking into account is there are certain players on there that I think have the it factor for winning. Amen Thompson's one of them. I think Tari Eason could be one of them. I think Alperen's developed into that guy. I think Jabari's a glue guy. I see players who fit certain roles cleanly. I'm evaluating construction of roster, and I think roster construction is actually very good for the Rockets. It's something I worried about, but when you look at how the pieces fit, the only concerns I have is Dylan Brooks going to get too many minutes, where you have some other guys who can have a bigger impact on both sides of the court playing. To me, you start at zero. Every team, so I'm not worried about teams having to come back to you. It's a race that starts at you're at the starting line. And whatever you did last year is irrelevant. You're at the starting line, and I think the Rockets are poised to be faster out of the gates than they were last year.
And I will tell you,
it'd be impossible not to.
You talk about the roster construction, but the teams who are above them, maybe not catching them, but the Rockets that have to reach them, you look at their rosters, at least every team has either NBA player or top 15 player on the roster.
Do they defend like the Rockets? There's
the
more
Thunder,
that goes
do
into
the,
it than just
the Thunder,
the
Nuggets.
We've got to break it. Okay. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I do. I do think they're a playoff team. But I don't want to put the expectation. Listen, it's a huge jump for them. It's a huge jump. 41 wins was a huge jump. If they win 10 more games this year and they get to 51, they're going to be in the top six.
That, well, yes, the records would say.
That's
look
right.
At the records last year. Yes,
right,
they win 10 more games.
There's a lot of good basketball in the West.
Only 8 games away from the sixth seed.
That was
Phoenix with 49 wins.
We got to break and talk. I got to talk right now about Chastain Ford. I got to talk about what the Chastains do every single day for you. And here's the deal: is they got so many deals going on right now. The $299 a month for the Bronco Sport, zero down payment options for the Explorer and the F-150 Lightning. Zero down payment options, Explorers and F-150 Lightning. That's happening. No hidden fees, obviously. No add-ons, no markups. We talk about this all the time. You're right here, just 5-10 minutes from downtown. Really easy to get to. Complimentary maintenance through Ford Pass rewards for new vehicle purchases and leases. That's a big deal. Complimentary maintenance through Ford Pass rewards, new vehicle purchases and leases. Specifically, they've got $4,500 summer cash right now available on the F-150 XLT. So you're looking for a great way to get money to get into that vehicle that you want right now. Summer's a great time to do it. This is a great time to be at Chastain Ford. But it's always a great time to be at Chastain Ford. Whenever you need a vehicle, there's one place to go. In my mind, ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What do you think this Jahan Dotson trade does for the Eagles?
I don't know. People are making a big deal about it. You've already got two guys who get open a lot. Dotson can run, but...
another weapon.
Washington didn't love him. It's another weapon, but you already have A.J. Brown.
Well, he didn't love him. He's a first rounder, and you got a third for him after a couple of years.
Well, because they weren't real happy with him over there, but you've got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Aren't you going to go to those guys? They're two of the higher paid wide receivers.
Well, no, you can't have enough weapons.
Well, we have this talk here.
And you've added Saquon Barkley.
About this team.
I don't think it's really...
Well, they were desperate for a third. They didn't have a real option.
Yeah, they needed a third, but I don't think it changes the offense. I think Jalen, to me, is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. I don't think you add one more weapon and he's that much better and the offense is that much better. To me, it's about he's got to get his short yardage runs, Saquon's got to be good, and then he's got to throw accurately to Devontae Smith and A.J. I don't think this matters
So you can slander him all you want, but he set a record that was ended this week.
Jahan Dotson?
No, Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I'm not slandering him.
Well, you just said he's okay, whatever. He threw 305 passes in practice that were none intercepted. He finally got intercepted yesterday, I believe it was.
Who's keeping that stat?
People.
Practice interceptions?
305 passes without an interception.
Was he going to – are we going to have a ceremony?
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to raise his
Did your quarterback do that?
His red jersey up to the – yeah.
His quarterback threw a pick yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Stroud?
Yeah.
And he's thrown, his joint practices.
He's thrown a few in practice.
Oh, man, I take it back. Jalen's way better than Stroud.
Thank you.
Well, one has been to a Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
And was great in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, until
y'all go ahead and keep arguing for Jalen. That's fine.
Until he fumbled that one.
Yeah, they could have gone up 2 touchdowns and he fumbled.
Yeah.
Jalen is a lot like – I watched the Steve McNair documentary on Netflix. It's kind of weird because half of it covers – frankly, 40% of it covers his murder and what happened, and about 60% covers football stuff. So they talk to Jeff Fisher. It's watching some more of Steve McNair, like his highlights, not many were throws. Most of them were runs. It is amazing. My comp really should have been Steve McNair for Jalen. Their game is remarkably similar. Very similar. The way Jalen, both of them could spin it and throw the ball with it comes out real pretty out of the hands, has a lot of zip on the ball. But, you know, what makes them so dangerous is how strong they are and how physical. You can't get them down. It's hard. They can keep extending plays with their legs. Jalen really does play a lot like Steve McNair.
Yeah.
A lot.
He was tough to bring down, boy. I mean, wow.
He was a horse. But Jalen is, too. Jalen's a 500-pound squatter.
I remember talking to Dom Capers about it. He's like, man, we get to him and we can't tackle him. We can't bring him down. And it was so frustrating because dude was just so strong. So strong.
I don't know that I'd
he was bigger than Jalen. I mean, Jalen is strong on his lower body. Steve McNair was just a hoss.
It's Netflix Untold. I didn't love it. I thought it was okay. It's to me, it was interesting. I was reminded about some things. There were some things I didn't know about. Like, Steve liked the women. He had a separate house that was his quote-unquote cat house.
Good on
and
him.
And except that one of them shot and killed him.
Right, that wasn't great.
That wasn't ideal. But I don't know. It was okay. I watched Lacey Peterson. I'll watch that one soon.
Are you going to watch Greg Maddox's?
Yeah.
I am.
I'll watch Greg Maddox's.
Yeah.
I'll watch Greg Maddox's. But I've got to finish Bad Monkey on – I'm watching too many shows.
Vince Vaughn?
Yep, I'm watching Fauda. Didn't you watch that?
Oh, I watched Fauda's
The Israeli thing.
It's really good.
Man, is it good. I'm on season one. I've had it saved forever. I'm like, let me start this.
You're watching too many shows. What do you have to do?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have anything to do, but I think it's making my mind in the mood.
Well, there is something called fatherhood.
No, but my kids are in school. That. Yeah. Mm.
Although, when they get back from school, I still watch. So that's true. Because Mason now has his driver's license, so... He got there. He got the license eventually, and he wants to. Sebastian takes jiu-jitsu, so Mason's like, I'll take him. Mason's the most helpful driver now. He wants to help out, drive people. Hey, we got home from dinner last night. Did Mom have a lot to drink? I said, I don't know. She just had some Aperol spritz. Why? Because if she did, and she's real tired, I'll just drive to school tomorrow. You're not driving her car to school, son. That's not what's going to happen. That's not how this is going to work. But where the hell did I start?
We don't know.
Yeah,
I don't even know the start. Oh,
Jalen
watching the shows. No, watching
Steve
the shows.
Steve McNair.
Yeah, I guess I can keep watching all
hey,
these shows.
You don't have anything to keep you from watching shows.
No. As a matter of fact, I'll just use the fact that before the draft work starts, I have to get all these shows in.
That's right.
Yeah. No, you definitely
Although
have to
I don't
do.
Have... any series, I am watching Bad Monkey with Vince Vaughn. It's pretty good. It's pretty good so far. And then Kingstown's over. I finished that.
Isn't John, there one are you
on
excited?
HBO? What is it? Oh, Industry on HBO.
Yeah. John,
Are you excited? Rings of Power is coming back? The Lord of the Rings series?
No.
Not you. I'm talking to John. That. We know John's the Lord of the Rings guy.
I didn't watch any.
You didn't watch season one?
I didn't watch it.
Why not?
Because.
Why?
Because it's
Lord of the Rings.
It's just let's make more money.
No, it tells the story that we haven't told before. Before, when what Sauron story? Was coming up.
Oh, yeah. He's a come up. His glow
they made
up.
That all up.
It's Saruman's glow
did
up.
Did Tolkien write it?
Yes.
He did?
It's a real story. Well, it's his story, and then they're making a show off of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They I don't care, though.
Oh, so you only like Lord of the Rings?
I'm not going to, probably.
He's not going to delve any deeper into it.
You know, yeah, I didn't like, there was, I you know what, I watched the first one, and I was
The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Or the TV show?
Yeah, I didn't, I was like, nah.
Well, Sauron's on job in season two. He's putting in work.
He is?
Yes.
Ian McClellan apparently fell off a stage recently. He was doing a play. He was doing a Shakespeare play.
Gandalf almost died?
Gandalf almost died. But he said he was wearing a fat suit because he was playing. It saved his life.
Oh,
said.
Look at that. You shall not pass.
You shall not pass.
Yes.
I saw him when we were at the New York Super Bowl. I saw Billy Crudup, Ian McKellen, and the guy from Star Trek, Patrick Stewart, in Waiting for Godot. I just bought a ticket one day on a Tuesday and just walked. It was freezing. But I got down there. I walked. Boy, that was brutal. Trying to walk in cold. I thought, this is no problem.
Ooh. No.
Man, when that wind is whipping like that at 14 degrees,
no.
That was terrible. But I went and saw Waiting for Godot, and it was awesome. Watching Ian McKellen and those guys, like, holy crap.
That's great.
I'm watching Ian McKellen on stage.
Oh, I thought you were with them or thought you were hanging with them. You said you saw him.
No, I saw him. Performing, Waiting for Godot.
I got you.
Yeah.
Are you going to see any Formula One?
Yeah, I'm going to. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take my kids out there, and I think I'm going to take Snacks and Mason. I don't think I'm taking Maddie, because Formula One, let me tell you something. If you have watched the F1 racing at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you're going to want to come out. If you've only seen it on TV or on the Netflix special that they had, you're going to want to come out here and experience it for yourself. We have the Houston show run, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be an opportunity for you to experience it for yourself, what we're talking about. Go to redbull.com/showrunHouston, and this is a chance for you to come out, and it's absolutely free. The entire family can come experience the event downtown Houston at Discovery Green, September 7th, courtesy of Red Bull. You are going to get to see a couple of F1 vehicles that are going to be racing around. It's an exhibition, but you're going to feel the speed. You're going to feel the power. You're going to see how loud these vehicles are, and it's going to be an amazing pop-up event for you to experience everything about the F1 circuit. Really going to be a lot of fun. You've got... it's about more than just F1 racing, by the way. It's a chance to experience the world of Red Bull through a family-friendly, all-ages Red Bull fan zone. They've got aspiring racers can get into the simulators and test their racing skills. You can spin some tracks at the Red Bull Turn It Up DJ table, get your picture taken with Red Bull Racing F1 car up close, and share it with your friends, and so much more. Make sure that you – oh, and by the way, some great food trucks are going to be out there as well. So you're going to have food, you're going to have Red Bull, you're going to have a lot of fun. Make sure you experience it. September 7th, it's absolutely free. Head on out there. For more information, go to redbull.com/showrunHouston and experience the F1 energy for yourself.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You see this list, Matthew Berry's 12-team college football predictions?
Yeah, but it's not the fantasy football Matthew Berry. It's a different one.
The other Matthew
Berry. Anchor, the ESPN
anchor. Yeah. Right. So, are you buying Oregon over Ohio State in the Big Ten?
Nope.
No, not really. But I'm not that big of a fan of Will Howard. He's fine. But he's a step down from past Ohio State quarterbacks as far as what they like to do in the passing game.
What's funny is what we've seen, though, Dell, is that you look at the end result on a lot of these Ohio State quarterbacks other than C.J. Stroud, and they've been great. And so what I'm realizing is that you just plug somebody into Ryan Day's offense, they're going to be pretty good.
I think he's going to be a Heisman candidate.
I do, too.
I don't know if he throws the football well enough for my taste for that.
But Dylan Gabriel, who I don't think is going to be a good NFL quarterback, is a good college quarterback, and he's at Oregon.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy that. I'm not buying it. Oh, I got Harry Douglas.
Oregon's got legit. Dancing. Like, Oregon's got big-time wide receivers there.
They do.
Big-time running
backs. Evan Stewart, the transfer from A&M, is there.
Yeah, they – I mean, wait, I'm saying – did I say Oregon or Ohio State?
You said Oregon.
I meant Ohio State. Ohio State, to me, has a
– Ohio State's loaded.
Real chance to win a national championship.
Yeah.
Well, they're certainly paying for it. I mean, they went all in. They're tired of getting beat by Michigan.
Can we talk about this? I brought this to the show, and I knew that there had been some discussion in the SEC. The PIF, the Live Fund, the Saudis, had made some – there was some rumbling. I mentioned that God forbid they ever get into college football. And one of the NIL heads told me, oh, no, they've dug around in the SEC because they think there's still value to doing the SEC. But nobody wants to touch Live. No one, they're like, nah, this is not – this is really bad for college football.
Yeah.
Everyone realizes this is bad. I mean – you've got the Saudis trying to get into college football, and this whole thing is to whitewash their history. You know, they're some of the awful history of that they have with the journalists, just everything having to do with it, and it's considered kind of blood money. A Colorado coach, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, a Colorado coach who is no longer with the team, he resigned. He went to Saudi Arabia. He claims on his own money, his own idea. No one knew anything about it. That's not believable at all. That's totally not. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm just going to go to Saudi Arabia and try to. And he was trying to woo the PIF fund to come give money to Colorado. This has Dion written all over it.
Yeah.
This has Dion written all
know.
Over it.
I don't know. This is the first time here. I have no idea. But that is not a. Oh, my goodness. If the Saudis got it, they've ruined golf. They're going to ruin our college football. By, you know, backing certain teams or whatever. I don't want it. It's just the sports washing thing. It's not working. Nobody thinks any differently because they pay these golfers.
But it's disrupting our sport.
Well, I'll tell you this. Doing. I honestly, when they came here, I said I'm not going because I'm not supporting it. I don't want to support it. I don't want to support it because I don't like what it's done to golf. But I also don't like that you know, the Saudis are just trying to make us forget about, you know, just because John Rahm hits a golf ball or Bryson DeChambeau hits a football, we're going to forget about Kasagi. Is that really? Yeah. I mean, honestly, this I don't understand the whole thought process
money,
behind it.
But to them, they have money; they can do whatever they want. So, if they wanted to come, I mean, this is one to me. You cannot. Can you imagine if you got involved with anything? And I'm not accusing Liv, the PIF, of being this, but if you start dealing with people with sketchy backgrounds, other countries, what if money it ends up being? What if there's stuff that's indirectly tied to a group that is also funded terrorists or whatever, and you got them funding a college football team's NIL program? I mean, how greedy do you have to be? Yeah. How desperate do you have to be? This is just awful. The PIF should have no. The PIF is the fund. Do you remember what PIF stands for? I can't remember what it stands for, but it's the fund that is dry, and it's got billions in it, and it's what funds Live, the Live Golf Tour. But somebody from Colorado, a coach who ended up resigning, went to try and encourage them to give money to Colorado.
Republic Investment Fund.
Yeah.
No.
Dion claims he knew nothing about this.
I don't know.
Not believable. I don't think any of this is believable. I think Colorado, and I've seen people like cheering, this is great. Dion is ahead of everyone, 10 steps ahead. Guys, there's just some, we got to have a moral compass at some point. I get that a lot of people no longer have any moral compass. They don't care about right from wrong. It's just about self-gratification. But you can't, like, college football has already, it's already just turned into a greed fest with, And it started with coaches who just couldn't even play out contracts. They had to bully universities and leak information about, oh, he may take another job to pressure universities. At some point, the Golden Goose is just going to get cooked. You can't, and it cannot get to where you, the NIL now is about bringing in Saudi Arabia into college football. It's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't understand.
Some people think it's inevitable.
I don't get it. Just because they put their name on a sport that we're going to forget everything that they do. There's more and more stuff that we're going to do in News of the Weird. It's like crazy.
But I don't think it's a matter of, like, this is just, they want to do it over time. They don't care about, there's no rate of return for them. Mm. So if you think that this is about, how are they making their money back? Do you understand how much money there is in this? This is not about money coming back.
Yeah. No, they don't care.
It's about branding. They just want. Yes. And the concern is that they will just say.
They don't care.
We're not trying to do it right away. We just want our name on a bunch of stuff to normalize it. And then we've done what we want to do. What, are they going to spend $2 billion and be sad? And my God.
It's not like businesses aren't doing business with the Saudis. I don't understand. You're right. There's no reason. There's not getting anything back on it. They are wasting so much money on this live tour. It is incredible, the losses. They're bleeding money, and they don't care. They just don't care.
No, they don't.
Hey, the Rams have been here, and practice against our Texans. We'll hear from Matthew Stafford about CJ on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're going to hear about John Daspit.
Yeah, the Daspit Law Firm has 60-plus lawyers across the state of Texas, and their plates are, I want to say they're full, but they're not overly full, because that's why John hires so many lawyers. He wants more lawyers. So if you're a lawyer looking to get into his firm, he'd be more than happy to interview you and talk to you, because he wants good communicators, smart lawyers, and his personal injury law firm is helping people who've been injured in accidents, and he wants to make sure that they are taken care of, that the medical bills are paid, that physical therapy surgeries are paid, that the pain and suffering is accounted for. But the great thing is he has so many lawyers because he wants to make sure that every client has a lawyer who's paying attention to them. You're not just a number. So that your concerns are also the concerns of the lawyers. And that's not always the case with a lot of these personal injury law firms. But it is going to be the case when you are dealing with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Make sure that you give John the call, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. 8:46 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Rams were here. Sean McVay, we'll hear from him in a minute about, he's impressed with this Texans team, especially the secondary. He talked about that. But let's start with Matthew Stafford. CJ's a big fan of Matthew Stafford's. CJ thinks that Stafford is one of the top five. That was a little surprising when he was asked. He thought Matthew Stafford, but, you know, Matthew Stafford's arm talent. I mean, I've never been a huge Matthew Stafford guy, but, I mean, he's got a lot of respect by other players in the league.
He knows how to play.
He really does.
Good. He really does. Guys who know ball, like me and CJ, we respect him.
Okay. Yeah, you and CJ, I mean, I don't know where you have Stafford. You have Stafford as the top five quarterback in the league?
Me and CJ do, yeah.
You and CJ have Matthew Stafford. Okay, name your top five in the league.
Me, CJ.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes.
Okay.
Joe Burrows.
Well, he's a Burrow, but okay. Well, there's not two of them.
Matt Stafford.
Okay.
And Josh Allen.
Those are your five.
Well, I mean, it's going to make Jacob happy.
It will make Jacob happy.
I got to stay white, guys.
Well, Matthew Stafford's not.
Apparently, that caller gets every black quarterback, and we have to get on a racial line. You draw a line, and you say, all right, we'll do the 23andMe, and then these are your quarterbacks.
Well, that's like, not really
the point. Well, my quarterback is C.J. Stroud because I'm a Texan.
That wasn't really his point. You can root for a black quarterback. Just realize.
No,
I don't think we can. Me and John came up
from an era of we root for the quarterbacks on our team. Hey,
you're misconstruing what he said. He's saying the time for the white quarterback is over.
So, yes, he was.
You can keep rooting for them, but they're not going to win any more Super Bowls.
I got you.
Oh, well, that's not offensive. My quarterback is C.J. Stroud.
That's off, if you want to know the truth.
What?
Your top five.
It's actually not that bad. It just depends on where you – let me put it
– Well, okay. How do you slot him?
So I had this – I'm kind of joking with Stafford. I don't know if I put Stafford there.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, maybe.
I think Josh Allen's wildly talented, but he is erratic.
Well, okay. Like, I think you would want on your team? First, Mahomes. Second is Josh Allen, no?
Well, Josh has a big impact on winning games.
Yeah. I mean, that's not
I like Josh. He's just – he makes negative plays, though, in the red zone. Like, it was a massive problem last year. Let me ask you this question, and I've already asked you, but I'm going to get your real-time answer, and we'll see what Dell says. So I'm at that dinner last night, and we're talking about quarterback play. And the question came up when we were talking about Lamar Jackson, and this guy is not a huge Lamar Jackson fan. Lamar Jackson is a two-time MVP. Knowing what you know about him, he's had his good years, his down years, his MVP years. Famously has won a lot of games in regular season, has not had great success in the playoffs.
Tremendous, playoff wins, yeah.
Tremendous runner.
Was he 2-4?
Yeah.
He's 2-4.
He's had some really bad games that hurt him. Like his game against the Titans, they were beaten as pretty big favorites because the Titans really just did a number on him. But that was 2 or 3 years ago. So let me ask you this. If you had a choice, we were going through different quarterbacks, and if you had a choice, and this is to Dell, this is to you, this is to people in their car or at work. If you had a choice between C.J. Stroud and Lamar Jackson, who are you taking? I don't hesitate. I say C.J. Stroud. Yeah, you hesitated, which I was actually a little bit surprised about, but I say C.J. Stroud, and I don't look back. Now, I'm doing that on the strength of 1 year.
Yeah,
that's my problem with it. And Lamar's been in the league longer.
That's my problem with it. And Lamar, listen, despite the postseason lack of success at 2-4, Lamar wins games, man. Mm-hmm. Lamar wins games. And, you know, C.J.'s got 10 wins under his belt and has played. But he also, you know, he had his stinkers too. So I mean, we are watching CJ with Liberty white colored glasses,
and I'm projecting him a little bit.
Yeah, too. And you're absolutely projecting him. Lamar's been there, done it. Two MVPs. They win games. They get to the playoffs. They win that division, which is a tough division. I don't know that it's. I'm torn. I think I might take Lamar.
Dell, who do you take? John's very anti-Houston today. He's anti the Rockets. He's anti C.J. Stroud.
Anti-Rockets, huh?
Well, because I think they'll make the playoffs, but I'm not sure they're top six. Okay.
Anti-Rockets, clearly.
I'm anti-Rockets.
I think C.J. benefits from not having the scars that the other quarterbacks have. There's a level of things that you mentioned Lamar. Inability, or at least so far, inability to win the biggest games of his career. And people – remember, CJ doesn't have that right now. In a year, 2 years from now, CJ has some of those, then I think the unadulterated praise might end. Right now, I'll take my two-time MVP.
Yeah. Okay, so you both would take, if you had a choice today, you take, and we're not talking about
money.
We're talking about moving forward, but money's not. Which guy moving forward you would rather have if all things are equal? I mean, if money is not a consideration. So you both would take Lamar Jackson.
Lamar's proven.
CJ Stroud. But is he?
Yeah.
I thought you always talk about winning in the postseason.
Well, he wins a lot.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you bring that up a lot. It's important to you.
But sometimes it takes a while for a guy to win at the highest level.
It's true. And
not everybody's Pat Mahomes.
But he's had some good teams around him.
Yeah. But Yeah, no, he's had really good teams around him.
I mean, I'm devil's advocate a little bit here.
Getting there, you get. Now, there is also the pressure that builds up by not winning, and every year the pressure mounts and mounts and mounts because every year we go into the playoffs, they're going to talk about Lamar not winning it.
Who do you think – so this is how I look at it. Who do I think can be fluid and make changes inside the game? Who can win from the pocket? See, when Lamar's athleticism – if it takes a downturn, I think he's in serious trouble because he's nowhere near the pocket passer that C.J. Stroud is. Stroud is going to be able to win from the pocket, I think, for years and years and years. And so his success is not going to be predicated on staying healthy in his lower body. Not really. I mean, everybody needs to. If you're a quarterback, you drive the ball from there and all that. But a big part of Lamar's success has to be running the football. That's a big part of his, you know, that's a big selling point for him is he does something that's special. It's really special. But if you take that away, he's not a special passer. Not in any metrics.
No.
Nothing that you're looking at.
Well, but if you take away CJ's passing, he's not a special runner.
Well, yeah, but a quarterback is a passer.
Right. Well, it's in today's game, it's kind of both.
No, you gotta be mobile, but you don't have to be a runner.
Right. No, you don't have to, but Lamar offers something that is so unique.
Right. But
and contributes to winning.
It contributes to winning, but it doesn't last forever.
No.
That goes away at some point. And then if you're left with your...
Yeah.
That's why shooters are like passers from the pocket. You don't have to have great athleticism, but if you can shoot, that doesn't go away. You're a shooter for a long time. Ask Ray Allen. But if you're a Derrick Rose and a big part of your game is athleticism and that goes away, it turns into just the skill level. And I don't believe Lamar is skilled like C.J. Stroud. I believe C.J. Stroud's very skilled, but once again, some of this has to continue. I'm surprised both of you have Lamar with the issues he's had in the postseason. I don't think Lamar thinks the game like C.J. does. I think defensive coordinators can trap Lamar with different looks and things like that.
I think
much tougher.
I think it's a no. Listen, I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant. Lamar is a two-time MVP. Lamar is special. I think just going, well, CJ.
I think it's an unfair.
How did he play in the postseason of those MVP seasons? Ultimately, that's how you're judged.
It's unfair to make this comp because CJ doesn't have Lamar's failures on his resume. If CJ doesn't get past the divisional round, this time.
But that's all I can make it on now.
This is why I hate comps, period. But yes, the mind is, well, CJ's young. He hasn't underperformed in the playoffs yet. Are we going to expect him to never do it? And then if 3 years from now, if the Texans, when CJ's, 25, 26 years old, are still trying to get over the hump, the conversation is going to pop up about CJ Stroud, too, and why he can't do it.
And it ain't easy winning at all.
Especially
when you got Pat Mahomes in front of you.
Who's always waiting for you.
Right.
And by the way, Josh Allen's still going to be a contender for that because he is one of the most talented players to play. So, yes, CJ, great start. But Lamar's going through the likes of Burrow and Allen and Mahomes, and CJ's going to have to do it too.
Yeah, that's something. And we'll find out. You're right. He doesn't have the failures yet. If four years into this, we'll see whether or not CJ is just like Lamar or if he's able to overcome it. Because it ain't going to be easy coming out of the AFC, that's for sure. And now you got Aaron Rodgers in there. I mean, holy crap. This is the postseason is going to be tougher than ever.
You know, in Lamar's losses, he's completed 48.2%. Let's see, 52.5%.
Well, and let's face it, it's colder than two. Many of these were in cold weather.
No.
He's not throwing, it's harder.
The Chargers went. Well, he's making a lot of excuses for it. Everyone has to play in the same weather.
Yeah.
These other guys had good games.
No, I know. Well,
I mean, 58%, like he's
not. No, I'm not making any excuse. I'm just saying.
And then Kansas City was a cold game, but not as cold as the Texans week. Remember, it was like in the 30s. The Texans game was brutally cold, and he threw 72%. So I don't know about that. I mean, he threw 72% against the Texans in whatever it was, 4-degree weather. But the next week, he was 54% against the Chiefs in much warmer weather that next week. So I'm just too scarred by the Bagwell Biggio years where if I think the regular season looks good, but your postseason, you struggle with postseason when – everything gets harder and defenses get trickier and they start taking things away from you. That bothers me. See, I just think C.J. Stroud knows ball so well. I've gotten so confident that he can, and part of it's Bobby Slowick's offense too. I just think they know how to make adjustments on the fly. But I'm very high. I mean, I'm Mr. Positive, so I'm very high on the Rockets today. I'm very high on Hector Neris.
It wasn't 4 degrees. You keep saying that. It was low 20s. It wasn't 4 degrees Texans.
Four-ish. And oh, no. Wind chill was 4.
It was 8 at a point. But you keep talking.
The wind chill?
The coldest game of the playoffs last year was Dolphins-Chiefs. Yes, wind chill was 8.
Yeah. Dolphins-Chiefs, that was the same weekend.
No. Was it?
Yeah, no. Dolphins.
No, it wasn't.
And Texans.
It was not. Dolphins Chiefs was wild card weekend. Texans, the Texans Ravens
game
was divisional.
Was freezing.
It was not. It's freezing. Yes, but it's you
it was
keep
in the
putting
20s with wind chills and 8.
But you keep
and he
dropping
threw 72%
to 4 degrees. It was cold, but no one blamed
He's
the cold for how the game went
today because his
no,
Dolphins
because
were
you just say stuff.
Well,
that didn't
nobody
happen.
Cares about the Dolphins.
I wasn't bringing up. You keep saying that, like you said it multiple times, that game was the chilliest thing anyone's ever been a part of. It was
Look
fine.
Look at Dell.
It
you
was
know what?
Fine.
You turned into a little well, actually.
The weather wasn't a big factor in the Texans and the Texans Ravens game.
Yeah, it was freezing cold.
No, it was
normal cold.
It was
for
cold.
That time of year.
That's not
and you know
normal
what? That
cold.
Time of year, you got to win. You got to play better in that cold weather. CJ didn't play well in that weather.
No.
CJ didn't play well.
Lamar played great in 20-degree weather, but then all of a sudden it got too cold for him the next week. Or all these losses, it was too cold, but that 20 degrees
John
is just
made
fine.
One point. He didn't say the only reason he lost because it was a cold weather game.
Y'all got to stop. CJ's better than Lamar Jackson.
I like CJ, but I'm glad we have CJ. But I don't know that –
I'd rather have CJ.
Let's just kick Lamar around.
That's not kicking him around.
Two-time MVP.
I'm not kidding. Yeah,
on his way to the Hall of Fame.
That's great. I always hear that. I'd rather have C.J. Stroud. Honestly, I'd rather have C.J. Stroud than most of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yeah, so would I.
I'd rather have him than Joe Burrow. I'd rather have him than – I wouldn't rather have him than Mahomes. I'd rather have him than
Just
Herbert.
Wait on it.
I'd rather have him than Tua.
There's an assumption that C.J. won't go through any failures.
He's
but
not.
When those failures happen, because they happen to everyone, unless your name is Patrick Mahomes for the most part, people – you will go – through this exercise and go, man, CJ, can he ever do it?
All right, that was our segment of Matthew Stafford talking about CJ.
Yeah, we never got to that.
We never got to because you,
what do you mean?
Started
I thought
Lamar
CJ talking about Lamar. I thought CJ talking about Matt Stafford.
No, Stafford. It was Stafford talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, and
which
then
we'll
I picked
play
up,
if you would let us.
And is he a fan?
Yes, he's
then
a big fan.
That makes two of us and two that are not fans of CJ.
That's not the case. Well,
dude, you know what? You need to take him every week in Underdog.
Yeah, Underdog, good. I will. Sorry about all these points I'm getting. Underdog Fantasy, I'll just go higher. In the Pick'em Challenge, Stroud, passing yards, higher. Nico Collins, touchdowns, one half, higher. I'll just keep firing a bunch of hires on the Texans offense because I'm not afraid. And then I'm going to go higher on Saquon Barkley's rushing yards. I'm going to go lower on Josh Allen's touchdowns. You can go higher or lower in the Pick'em Challenge on Underdog Football, and it is great. It is great, and I'll tell you why. Because you can win 325 times your original play. Now, that's not the norm. You got to use those scorchers, and scorchers are a little harder to earn, but if you know where the advantages are, if you study ball and you know ball, this is a great chance for you to make real money. It's completely legal here in the state of Texas. All you have to do is pick between 2 and 5 players and pick higher or lower on the stats that are next to them, the different stats. Choose the one that you want to take advantage of and then go higher or lower. And then what you're doing is multiplying. It's turning into multipliers that make you big money. So watch the games, and while you're watching, play along with Underdog Fantasy. Make your first deposit and use promo code Lance, and they are going to give you a gimme first pick, or basically your very first one in your Pick'em Challenge is an easy win, and you're going to get a deposit benefit as well. So you have to use promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay.
That's cool.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.